Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Take a Stab at It. I'm your host, John Hoyer, and with me is...
Jason Bartsch, and we are honored to have the King of Halloween back with us.
Damn straight. Yeah, you guys, it's Trevor. What's going on?
You have a new name now.
Yeah, I'm Meat Shield because, you know, Jason told me I should do Meat Shield. So in July, I'm Meat Shield now. So
there we go.
Yeah. Say no more.
All right, folks, this is the last episode of our Slashers miniseries. It only took us 13 episodes, I believe, but, you know, all good things come to an end. And don't cry. Don't cry. We
can choke.
It's not about the body count. It's about the friends we made along the way, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. So, all right. So, I mean, we've learned so much. We got to embrace, just a classic genre of horror, a foundationary genre of horror. So there's not much more to say. We've talked about it a lot. You know, what we're here for, though, is we get to celebrate this slasher series by giving out some awards, some Stabby Awards.
Oh, yeah. The people Ooh. Wanted it. The people are going to get it. And I love finales. I just love the pageantry for just the sake of it. I celebrate all finales, series finales, season finales, firework finales. I love them all. Yeah.
I just hope there's no cliffhanger in this one. So
who knows? Who knows? We don't even know how it's going to end. We don't plan that far ahead.
That's true. No, not at all. Actually, folks, we are all dressed up in really nice suits, actually. We're getting into the pageantry ourselves.
Right.
John had us rent tuxedos and he claimed he's going to reimburse us. So
yeah,
as soon as the podcast turns a profit, I will reimburse everyone for everything.
So we're never getting that money.
I'm going to cut that out. All right. But anyway, guys, we're for this episode, we're going to do the Stabby Awards and then we're going to conclude the episode with a little game show segment that Jason put together.
Yeah. And Trevor is the reigning champion. So it will be his opportunity.
I'm holding my title belt up right now.
Yeah. It will be his opportunity to defend his title and it will be John's opportunity to recover from the devastating.
Don't choke. He barely won.
Barely. All right. So let's just get into the Stabby Awards, right?
Let's do it.
All right. So Trevor, can you play the theme song that you wrote?
Sure thing. Do 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 do. The Stabbies.
That was so much better than I expected him to just come up with on the spot. He is so red in the face right now.
Because I'm overjoyed because I made that song. It's such a beautiful song.
He only had to take off 5 days of work.
I feel like a real Danny Elfman.
All right.
So, okay, before we get into the categories, let's just quick run through all the films so far. Like, so we did Peeping Tom, Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Black Christmas, Halloween, the original, Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, Behind the Mask, You're Next, It Follows, the new Halloween from 2018, and our final episode was Freaky, right? That was all of them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just so the Stabbies, we're pulling awards from all of these films. And the first category we have, we're starting with a good one, Best Killer. Best Killer. That's a bold one to start.
Yes. Right, yeah. Number one in the chamber.
Trevor.
Yes.
Who you got?
Well, obviously I kind of fleshed it out, like looked at all the movies. So for I was thinking maybe, you know, Ghostface, because of Stu and Billy, you know, they... Two killers. Nobody saw that coming, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, well, you know, there's Fred Krueger, not Freddy Krueger, Fred Krueger, because, you know, they kill, you know, he kills the kids in their dreams. But I went with America's Sweetheart, The Horror of Haddonfield, Mr. Michael Myers.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Hard to argue.
Yeah.
Hard to argue. Could it be a sweep? We don't know.
Any other reasons you like Michael Myers?
I mean, I figured because, you know, the fact that, you know, Michael Myers is the only one of the guys that we've seen. There's two movies that we've seen in this podcast. So Plus, I feel like of the killers that he's more symbolic, you know, because we always question, like, you know, is evil real?
So he's evil incarnate, and that's
correct. Yes.
You feel like he's the best version of what evil would be like.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, voiceless, like he doesn't talk. He's
all business.
Yeah,
he's all business.
Exactly.
You know, he's just doing it for the love of the game.
Absolutely. And Werther's too.
That's a good callback, Trevor.
Yeah, thank you.
So, John, who you got?
So I was debating it and I was like, well, I think Freddy Krueger's a little underrated. You know, he's usually, a lot of people tend to go Jason, Michael, but he's inventive. He's an artist. He's doing stuff in like the dream world. So he's got to be more creative.
It's true.
But at the end of the day, I also had to go with Michael Myers. Mm-hmm. Because Michael, he's a real one. You know, yeah. He is, as we were talking with Trevor, he's evil incarnate. Well, I mean, he's lasted for so many movies. And even when the movies are bad, people still go see them because they love Michael. Mm-hmm. And in fact, throughout most of the movies, all the characters, like, they can't understand Michael. They go crazy trying to understand Michael.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't let anyone in. He's just pure evil. And he's not going to tell you why.
They're oddly obsessed with him. Like,
yeah,
they mm-hmm. bring a lot of these situations on themselves because of how obsessive they are over getting through to Michael, or, you know, learning more about Michael. And it never ends well. Mm-hmm. But
No, it never does. All right. Well, Jason, what do you have for best killer?
So we're going to have a sweep. I got Michael.
Oh, shit.
We have a stabby sweep. To start it off, he's the prototype for the killers for these movies. And, you know, I have a feeling when a lot of screenwriters and filmmakers are trying to come up with new ideas, he's a big inspiration. And he's also like the first guy that they try to avoid being too close to. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, we can't be too much like Michael. He's the goat. And, you know, it's just that there's something, I think they really caught lightning in a bottle with Michael. I don't know. You know, I can't imagine they thought that this would become the cultural phenomenon that it became. You know, he's just in like a tall dude in a mechanic suit with a white mask that came out of necessity for filmmaking, and just dark eyes. And it's so simple, but he's just so eerie and so haunting in the way everything
it's
works
so iconic.
Together. Yeah.
Right. And he just uses a kitchen knife too. So he doesn't have like an axe, a chainsaw, you know, knife hands. It's just a kitchen knife too.
Yep.
So it's just basic.
You and know. We've seen he doesn't even really need the kitchen knife. He can just crush skulls.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. He's actually being kind to his victims by using a knife because he makes it quicker. You know? Right.
What an angel.
All right. Well, next one we got best final girl. Best final girl. Trevor, what do you got?
So, you know, obviously we had some pretty good ones. So I was thinking maybe Sydney from Scream, because, you know, she feels like she evolves over the other Scream films from, you know, Scream 1, Scream 2, Scream 3. And eventually after Scream 4, she's running into the danger. And I thought of Lori, because why not? She's like the original Scream queen, you know, that, you know, she's, you know, she survives and then she pretty much plans to kill Michael in Halloween 2018. But then I realized, you know what? Erin from You're Next is the perfect final girl, because right out of the bat, she's prepared. Like, she knows exactly what to do, what to use to defend herself, and exactly, you know, what, you know, she's prepared. You know, she's ready for anything.
Good point.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. No, she's great.
Well said. John, who do you have?
Trevor touches upon some good final girls here. I think Lori obviously was kind of my first thought on that, just because, I mean, for me, Halloween's so foundationary. And, you know, I was thinking Lori, but I ended up going with Sydney Prescott from Scream.
Wow.
Because, you know, what I like about her, Sydney Prescott, and as we've seen with all the Scream movies, there's different killers each time, multiple killers in some movies. And, you know, none of them have anything to do with each other, these killers, but they're all hate Sydney, and they all hate Sydney for just living her life. She's She's awesome, and all her haters keep trying to kill her, and they can't do it. And she makes them all look foolish, and they all die horribly, I believe. So, you know, I connect well with someone who has to deal with haters on a daily basis.
She has a lot of baggage, too. She's got... Like she was dealing with the death of what was it, her mother, father,
her mother,
and then you know she ended up putting you know a guy in prison for it, which they didn't get too into in the first screen, but you know so yeah. she's got a lot of baggage, and mm-hmm. on top of that she deals with several incarnations of the same killer throughout the franchise. So
well, it's like Lori, you know, like Lori has Michael, and they're kind of almost like intrinsically connected, over time. But it's like Sydney is killing the bad guys at the end of these movies. And she's just like, all right, you know, high school, there's killers, they're done. I'm going to go to college, there's killers, they're done. And like, she just keeps going.
Yeah.
And I just think like I'd say that's pretty aspirational. You know, if you're going to be a final girl, that you keep killing all the bad guys. That's awesome.
It's happening during her formative years too. Like she doesn't have like a very good, you know, I guess it's a tough 4 years of high school, probably tough college stint for her. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I didn't really give her a lot of thought, honestly, but you bring up some good points with Sydney.
Thank you. Jason, what about you?
So, yeah, I immediately went to Laurie from Halloween. That was kind of my first thought. But if we're thinking of it in the context of the 2018 one being a direct sequel, mm-hmm. I feel like she kind of lost it a little bit in that one. And I don't know. I
How so?
Bye, honey.
I don't know. If we would have just watched the original and H2O, this could be a different story. That's neither here nor there, but Harnett is canon. And ultimately, I went with Aaron as well from Year Next.
Okay. Awesome.
There's just something about the string of movies we watched and where it fell in the sequence, and something about her just felt very refreshing and very much like a fully realized version of, you know, a lot of the films that we'd watched already. And they just kind of took the best aspects and then kind of like turned it on its head a little bit, where, you know, she unbeknownst to the killers, she grew up in a survivalist camp or compound or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of adds, you know, it kind of adds a curveball to the plot. And,
oh yeah,
you know, her upbringing is kind of like a plot device, and it's something they weren't prepared for. And, you know, she gets the best of them because of that. And she just how methodical she is with everything and her instincts, you know,
destroyed three like Iraqi or Afghanistan war veterans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the losers that were like snobby rich kids that hired
two failed sons and this girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to compete with her. Hard to compete with her. So,
all right, now to my favorite category, biggest weenie. Trevor, what do you got?
Okay. So, I had a couple, you know, obviously this year has been really good to the weenies. So I thought of old Oscar Mayer from, you know, Halloween 2018. I thought he was pretty good, but then I thought of like, you know, pretty much, you know, a really good one, Glenn from Nightmare on Elm Street, because he was pretty much a dope.
Yeah.
I even went as far as thinking about Sonny's weenie after seeing all the like the horror movies that he filmed from, you know, Peeping Tom, right? How big he got.
Okay. You were talking about Sonny's weenie, and it was a little confusing there.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, so I went with Crispin from Your Next. So not only is like he is a weenie for at the end of the movie, he didn't hold up his end of the bargain with the whole plan. Like he fucking like, oh, I'm just gonna run, whee, and then ran, and like even came back like tried like, oh, I'm sorry, can I just come back in? Come on, guys, you know.
So among the fail sons, he's even a weenie by that standard.
He's the failest of the fail sons.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, because at least the other sons committed to it, and he like just backed out and wanted them to take care of everything.
So I can't do it.
It's a weenie move. I mean, you can't argue with it.
Yeah. The pretty big weenie move. Yeah.
Classic weenie.
Yeah. John, who you got?
All right. So I was so close to going with Crispin as well. He's a huge weenie. We all know this. We just talked about that. But I have to go with the boyfriend from Black Christmas, Peter Smythe. He found out his girlfriend was pregnant. She's going to have an abortion. He tries really hard to neg her into not having an abortion and just really bad at doing it. And we get to watch him freak out and destroy a piano.
The piano
for no
recital.
Reason.
Yeah.
It was just embarrassing. Just terrible. He was such a weenie and such an idiot that his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend ends up, you know, killing him at the end of the movie. And everyone thinks he's the killer because his behavior is so erratic, so stupid that they're like, well, clearly he must be the guy trying to, you know, kill her. So, you know, that I got to give it to Peter.
That's a great pick. He slipped my mind a little bit, but that's hard to argue with the Peter pick.
He's a slippery little wiener.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa. Is that why you were smiling for the last like 2 minutes, Trevor?
Yes.
Oh my God. Can't take you anywhere, Trevor. All right. So Jason, what's your pick for biggest weenie?
So I'll be honest. Like I kind of forgot. I kind of slept on Peter a little bit. But that's a great pick. My mind also immediately went to Oscar from the new Halloween. That kid just does a great job portraying that guy. He doesn't have a lot of screen time, but the fact that he was in the running for biggest weenie, that kid needs to be more stuff. But, I promise there's no collusion. Trevor and I are on the same page again. I ultimately went with Crispin. For starters, his name is Crispin. that immediately kind of shoots you up the ladder a little bit for biggest weenie status. But yeah, a lot of the reasons we already talked about, you know, he's kind of conspiring to kill all these people and split his inheritance with his siblings. And not only can he like not follow through with it, he just like he disappears and he leaves it in the hands of his siblings. And it's just a mess. And he just kind of like comes back hoping it was done. And that's just weenie status all the way. So
also when he shows up, and he's talking to Aaron. He's trying to convince her. And
yeah, he's like, oh, good, you're all right. I was so worried.
It's so bad. It's not a good, he's not believable. Just a huge loser.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you say, let me ask you this, though. Why do you choose him over, say, Felix, his brother?
Because Felix, at least, like, committed to following through with it. Mm-hmm. And Crispin, like, there's something worse about him. Like, by him disappearing, he's obviously not trying to stop it. He feels bad that he doesn't, like, he feels bad enough that he doesn't want to be directly involved with the killing. Mm-hmm. But he also isn't trying to stop it. But he also still hopes that Felix and company follow through and do this. So, to me, that's almost worse because he doesn't leave for any noble reasons. It's just like, I don't really want to do this, but I really still want it to be done.
Right, right. So, and I would say Felix, at the very least, he just wants to get it done and over with. He's like, he's tired of dealing with these damn Iraqi vets, you know? Yeah. He's dealing with his damn girlfriend trying to make out with it, like, next to his damn dead mom. He has to choke his brother, like, you know, he has to choke his brother out, and, you know, it's just... He just wants to get the goddamn money, but Crispin's just fucking playing in the woods, probably listening to a goddamn podcast, waiting for everyone to fucking be done.
Yeah, and Trevor,
this is a family show, and you're saying, damn this, damn that, goddamn everything.
Goddamn Crispin!
I agree with you. I would also say, at least Felix, say what you will about him, but at least he did kill one of his brothers. He got his hands dirty and he actually committed a murder. He did it in a very pathetic way. Very pathetic. Yeah. But he did it. And that's more than Crispin could say.
Crispin. Hang a bun on that man. He's your biggest weenie.
I hope he relishes it.
John's cutting all this out. All right, Trevor.
You're done, Trevor.
At any rate, anyways. So our next category is worst cop. John, who do you have?
Well, so for this one, I feel that I must give a runner-up status to John Saxton as Lieutenant Thompson in Nightmare on Elm Street. Mostly because he's functionally useless in that movie and seems to never know where his daughter is at any given time. He's across the street as she's being terrorized, and it takes him a very long time to figure that out. And I think just pathetic. Even though you might argue for best cop, he would be the clear winner for that for Black Christmas, because he actually figures out a lot of things in that movie, right? And listens to the women. Mm-hmm. But I have to go for worst cop. I have to go with Sergeant Nash and pretty much the entire precinct in Black Christmas, because they don't listen to any of the women that are saying, hey, all this stuff is going down, it's not great. But also, Sergeant Nash didn't know what fellatio meant, and I think that's very stupid. Just incredibly stupid. How can he solve anything or understand anything if he's like, oh, what's fellatio mean?
Do you care to define it for our listeners who may not know, or are we gonna leave that one up to Google?
Well, actually, subscribe to
our Patreon
John Sex Talk podcast, because we get into it. We
define every word you don't know from Let's Take a Stab at It.
All right. Well, Trevor, what about you?
So, you know, I had a pretty hard time trying to figure this, because, you know, there's pretty some bad cops. Dewey, some bad guys. So I figured, you know, maybe Dewey from Scream, you know, even though he was trying to do his job, he was, you know, fumbling it. I also thought of Lieutenant Thompson from Nightmare. You know, he almost killed fucking Ron. You know, just basic, because, like, he might have done it.
Yeah.
You know, but I also have to go with John.
Nancy, get out of the way.
Exactly. Shoot him. I have to go with the entire police department in Black Christmas. Like, if it's bad enough one guy fucks up, but the entire precinct's like, I don't know what to do. So, you know, it's just
like your impression of like Canadian people.
You know, the cops over there, you know, they got their fucking, you know, Tim Hortons, you know. But anyway, sorry, all the Canadian listeners. I apologize. I'm just a fool. Leave me alone.
We don't air in Canada. So.
Okay, good. Okay. But yeah, the whole police department is pretty bad. But
yeah, they're pretty useless, except for Fuller, John Saxon's character and the guy who's like who's tracing the call. Other than that,
Fuller, I think his name was.
Yeah, there you go. And so, Jason, what about you?
So I ended up going with Lieutenant Thompson. Nancy's dad, Nightmare on Elm Street. Just because I feel like a lot of the bad things that happened could have been avoided if he would have just listened to his own daughter. And it didn't really seem like he had a lot of reason to not believe her. She didn't really seem like she had like a history of telling like tall tales like this or fantasies or something. And then, you know, the fact that she's getting kind of attacked right across the street, like right in front of him, you know, he probably should have prepared for that a little bit more. But yeah, I went with him. So
fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Fuck all of them.
All right. So moving on, we got best death scene. Jason, what do you got?
So I have a few. I'm going to break the rules a little bit. I got a few honorable mentions.
There's only one award.
I know there's only one award. All right.
Loves cheating.
Let me pick one. Okay. All right. Okay. So I was going based off of what came to mind right away. Mm-hmm. So I immediately thought of that, that silly ice chamber death in Freaky where the person like shatters. Mm-hmm. Like that was just something about that, even though it was like so out there, was like very memorable. And also the wire decapitation in Your Next was a finalist for me. The one I ultimately went with was Bob or Bobby in Halloween when he gets pinned to the wall. There's something about that one that just, it's kind of stuck with me like since childhood. And I have a feeling that, you know, the fact that I was younger when I saw it, it might have played a role. But I don't know. I feel that like that scene occupies real estate in my mind way more than it should. So
it's
and
a
just
head
like
tilt.
Yeah, and the little head tilt, and that's just but like the little Michael Myers head tilt has been repurposed so many times for it. Just like it's just become synonymous with like sociopathic tendencies almost. Mm-hmm. And you know, even like modern TV shows, you'll see like somebody do something and give you a little head tilt, and it's just kind of like you. Okay, this person has no conscience, no soul. Like it's just like I don't know, and. It's similar to, you know, Michael Myers kind of being the pioneer and the prototype. I ultimately went with that one. It's simple, but I think the lasting effect on it is kind of what did it for me. So that's what I went with. John, how about you?
Okay, so I initially was thinking Michael Myers as a kid when it's that first person POV. He's going up the stairs. He catches his sister having a very short sex scene with a guy, maybe about 10 seconds long, but it's a very iconic scene. It's the start of a whole franchise is based around Michael going, you know, becoming evil and killing his sister, and the filmmaking of it is amazing. It's one of the first like Steadicam shots that you see in certain, you know, in like horror movies and stuff.
Yeah,
and you know, it's a point of view shot, like there's a lot to it. It feels very very iconic. Ultimately, though, I had to go with the shower scene in Psycho because that scene is like, I would say probably one of the most iconic death scenes ever, any movie. Everyone knows, like you hear that music, everyone knows what it's from. And the way it's shot and like the way it's cut, you know, it's this crazy sequence of like different short little cuts of, you know, of the Janet Leigh's character being murdered. And I just think it's so memorable. And, you know, I don't know, for me, it's my favorite of any of them.
It's a great pick. It's a great pick.
Pretty good.
Trevor, what about you?
Well, I know you guys went with, you know, iconic shots and stuff. I kind of went down the route of brutality and gore, which is the most brutal. So I went with the Death of Glenn, which I titled Glenn's Late Night Admissions, because he fucking, the whole blood just shoots out of from the bed.
You mean emissions?
Emissions. I meant emissions. Yeah. The second one I would kind of thought of Dr. Bernardi getting chopped in half by the saw, or I dubbed Mr. Bernardi's lesson in woodshop safety. and number one for me is when Michael smashes Dr. Sartain's head, which I dubbed Dr. Sartain's mind being open to new things. So I have to go with that one because I think
are we kidding? Like, is this turning into like Trevor stand up all of a sudden?
Well, I'm just trying to audition for America's Funniest Home Videos. That's why. No, but I figure, you know, the Dr. Sartain one is pretty brutal because while the other two, you know, it's just Michael's pure strength that just stomping on some guy's skull. And it's just the shatter, like the noise, the crunch and everything is just pretty brutal.
Yeah. No, those are all good ones. There were a lot to pull from in this, and the woodshop teacher one I had on my short list as well. But yeah, there are two ways to approach this. It's like, you can think of like the brutality / cleverness, or just, you know, the lasting kind of, I don't know how you want to say it, something like Psycho or Halloween, how it just, it's kind of been iconic for so long. But yeah, the shower scene's a great one. I mean, just the editing in that too. And I know we discussed
there was nothing like that at the
time. Yeah. And I don't know. And it's been replicated and parodied so many times. It's, you know, just great picks all around, I say.
All right. So we're getting to the last one, folks. We got best slasher film. Trevor, what do you got?
Well, this one was really hard, guys, you know, because we had some pretty heavy hitters on this list. I really thought maybe Psycho would be it, you know, because Psycho's, you know, is so iconic. You know, it's pretty much, you know, it's pretty much first to most people. I thought of maybe possibly Texas Chainsaw Massacre because, you know, it was it revolutionized everything. And I mean, it really pushed the boundaries on what you can do in a horror movie and like what you could do. But I ultimately, no shocker here, I had to go with John Carpenter's Halloween because that movie was just, it was the greatest. I love it. I might be, you know, subjective here because I love Michael Myers. I love Halloween, but I think it's the best because, you know, it has the great tone, great music, great villain, you know, and then like just everything just lines up perfectly in the movie.
Absolutely.
Can't go wrong with Halloween. John, are you going to surprise us here with your pick?
So I was tempted to go with Psycho because it's a foundationary film for me. I love it. I, you know, stuck in my head that Norman Bates being a serial killer, like that disturbed me as a child. But I had to go with Halloween. I had to.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, I had to do it, folks. So Halloween, just an incredible film. It, you know, as we've gone through and analyzed these movies, you could see like the formula for like slasher films kind of was solidified in the movie Halloween, and everything after that is doing some sort of version of Halloween. You know, it's either doing something the opposite of Halloween because it's doing something different, or, you know, whatever. But its place in film history is settled. I'd say there's not a better slasher film than Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's well said. Like the films that followed were either a version of that or trying to be the opposite of that, but it was still like in reference to it in some capacity. So, yeah, I mean, I put that down too. I wanted to be I wanted to provide the dark horse. But I will say I debated Your Next because I liked the modern flair of that one and I liked what it did. Mm-hmm. I liked kind of its indie sensibilities and it added the humor well. It added the right amount of twists. It added its spin on the final girl. So that one really surprised me of all the ones we watched. Several of them I'd seen already. It was my first time watching Your Next. So I did debate picking that one. But yeah, I really liked that one as well. So, but Halloween takes it home. I don't know who's accepting the award on behalf of Halloween, but did we invite Carpenter?
John, do you want to say something?
Here we go.
John,
leave me alone.
He just said that's correct. I don't
that's correct.
I think he's too busy playing a hockey video game.
John Carpenter, you swept the stabbies. That's correct.
Do you want to pick up your award? That's correct. All right, folks, that's the slasher films. We might come back at some point with a volume 2 where we'll hit some of the, like, you know, other notable slasher films, maybe from the 80s or whatnot. But for now, we're closing the door on slashers. But Jason, what's going to be our next series?
So our next series we are excited to announce is going to be found footage horror films. So I showed my wife the Blair Witch Project for the first time. She hadn't seen it. And I just love that movie. I think it's one of the scariest movies absolutely. I've ever seen.
Me
and
too.
It's just, it's, they did so much with so little. And I feel like horror is, you know, horror films are a great medium to do that. Like, you don't need to be as flashy as you would with, you know, some big artistic drama or what have you. And I feel like when found footage is done well, it really boils fear down to its main components. Like if you look at the Blair Witch Project, for example, you know, it's a lot of it is what you don't see. And it's a lot of what you hear. And it really, a film like that really trusts its audience. And it relies almost on the fears of the audience to kind of be very scary because your mind wanders, you know, I think that's great. And
it tries to capture a realism that's not really in other movies.
Right. Yeah. And it's
trying to make you feel like this is the real world of what you're watching, not a stylized version.
Like, yeah, it fills you with dread. Like, oh, yeah, you actually feel like you can't anticipate what's going to happen next.
Yeah. And I'm sure in this series, we'll go into that film in particular at length. But, you know, and just also, I personally find it interesting how the genre has evolved as technology evolved, because the way that, you know, we record video and view video has really changed drastically, even since The Blair Witch. And some films have tried to tackle that change as a found footage horror film and succeeded, and some have failed pretty miserably, I think. And so it's a subgenre that, when done correctly, I think can be very scary and just a very good showcase of the horror genre. So I don't know. Well, I'm excited. We're gonna check out some new ones, and then some, you know, more popular ones probably, and, you know, some lesser known ones. So should have a nice bag of tricks with this one.
And I think it'll be fun because we'll kind of get into why certain aspects of these movies works, certain parts that don't work, etc. I mean, as anyone who's listening to this probably is aware, like, found footage is a controversial genre of horror. There's some people that hate it, some people love it, a bunch of people in between. And we're going to kind of try to dig into that, and we're going to figure it out.
I've come across a lot of people that hate it, and I'm kind of want to get one of those people on the show to figure out, like, why they hate it. Maybe they haven't seen the right ones. Maybe it's too gimmicky. I don't know. I feel like, as a movie fan and as a horror fan, I don't know. I think it's a great subgenre. And, you know, if you say you don't like any of them, I think you should open up to the possibility of, you know, maybe seeing a few more and kind of changing your perspective on that.
And I think sometimes people, I don't know, sometimes I find that the people that seem to hate found footage the most are the people that, like, try to show, like, I'm not afraid of anything. You know, that kind of attitude.
I'm a tough boy.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's not scary or whatever. And it's like, cool, dude. You're too tough for the movie.
Yeah.
You know? Like, okay, whatever. You know, it's just, you know, I have no time for that. But I do think it's interesting to explore these films and maybe see why certain things are, you know, why is Blair Witch so great, and maybe certain other ones, maybe they don't work quite as well.
And even in the Blair Witch franchise, like, I know, I think we mentioned before, like, I wasn't a fan of the newest one. The sequels, like, I feel like they lost what made the original one great.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we'll get into. And yeah, I mean, we'll get more in depth to it, obviously, but I think it's an interesting one to explore. Might be a little controversial, I guess, because of how polarizing the subgenre can be. But I don't know. There's a lot out there that I know I haven't seen that are kind of, you know, not really, I guess, mainstream films that a lot of people have seen. So I'm really excited to dive into this and see where we can get with a little digging, because I'm sure there's some great ones out there that we haven't seen and that a lot of our listeners haven't seen as well.
I'm pretty excited for you guys, because, you know, I'm a big sucker for you know, found footage movies, and I'm excited to hear what your guys' take on it, because, like, I feel like I'm a little bit of more of a proponent for it. You know, I just like a lot of found footage. It's kind of like, I like the hook of it, you know, like, you know, this camera is found and it's got all this stuff. So, I'm interested what you hear what you guys say about them.
And maybe you'll be on a couple episodes.
Spoiler.
All right. I'm going to turn the reins over to Jason for the game show segment that he has planned.
All right. So, if you'll recall,
Jason, can you do the theme song, please?
We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Okay.
All right. So, if you'll recall, the finale for our last mini series we did, we wrapped it up, and it was around Halloween. So we did a whole Halloween special. We did the Stabby Awards. We did a little game show. People seemed to really like that episode. So here we have a rematch of that game show. We got John versus Trevor.
Oh, yeah.
It's Trevor's chance to defend his title, John's chance to take the title away from him. And whoever wins will be the reigning champion until next time. So let's get into it. Cue the music. Let's take a stab. Let's take a stab. Let's take a stab. Let's take a stab. Everybody's stabbing everybody everywhere every day. Stabbing, 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 doing trivia. Trivia. Take a stab. Let's take a stab. Ba-doom. Welcome to Let's Take a Stab at a Trivia, where contestants try to slash their way to the top of the leaderboard. I am your host, Jason Bartsch. Joining me today is none other than Jersey's son, John, the Italian hog hoyer. As well as the aforementioned reigning champ, the pride of the butterscotch state. I don't know what Ohio is. Doesn't matter. I didn't bother to look it up. Trevor.
Champ is here.
Trevor the guy, Charity.
The goofy pooper.
The meat shield.
Too many nicknames to keep track of. All right. So the game will consist of two rounds of five questions, followed by one final question, which we're calling the final stab, and a player will earn stabs for each correct answer. At the end of the game, the player with the most stabs will be declared the winner. And as before, each player must buzz in with their own unique sound, and I would like to hear those sounds now. John. Trevor.
Loop.
Once more for our listeners, John. Trevor.
Loop.
All right. So those are your buzzing sounds. And please wait for the question to be completed before buzzing in, just so our listeners can hear the whole thing. And just a note that these questions will only relate to the films that we have watched for this slasher miniseries. So the last time we did it, they had a lot to do with Halloween and other films. Mm-hmm. This one, we're just going to keep it kind of in this box. So
before you continue, I just want to say to Trevor, you know, may the best man win.
Har, har, har.
All right.
I'm the best man at his wedding. Yeah.
Sure. All right.
I don't know about after this.
This is getting too hostile.
Fuck you, Trevor.
what you don't know is Trevor and I spoke before this and agreed to let you win, so you didn't get too angry. Yeah.
Like, don't ruin this for me.
It's for the podcast. It's for the best. Okay, no.
Paper champ.
It's anybody's game, I think. All right, so round one. The category is a psychotic Halloween, and the answers will pertain only to Psycho and Halloween, the original, 1978. Okay. So each correct answer will be worth two stabs. Question number one. After making Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock was banned from shooting at this location for his next film. John.
Pinewood Studios.
Incorrect. Trevor, do you have a guess?
Universal Studios.
Very close. It was Disneyland. Disneyland was the answer. So apparently the film was just so shocking at the time. His next film, he had some scenes that he wanted to film at Disneyland, and Walt Disney was like, no, you can't do it. Like, you're this bad guy. You made the film with the lady in the bra and the killing. Can't do it. The plot sounds pretty cool. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It was supposedly called The Blind Man. And the plot of the film revolved around a blind jazz pianist who was once again able to see following an eye transplant. But the catch was, the person who donated the eyes was a murder victim. So this pianist could see the murderer through these eyes. So that was kind of the premise of it.
And I thought it was just going to be a blind man stuck in fucking Big Thunder Mountain.
But yeah, I guess that part of it was supposed to be set in Disneyland, and it was no go. So there you know. All right. Question number two, still tied up at zero. What did Alfred Hitchcock wear in his Psycho cameo? John.
A suit.
Incorrect. Trevor, you have a guess.
Overalls. That's a shot in the dark.
It was actually a cowboy hat. And it was very close to the beginning of the film because he knew people would be looking for it. And he didn't want people to be distracted for the duration of the film. So he just showed himself in a cowboy hat outside of one of the buildings or something. He may be wearing a suit, John. I don't know. I'd have to go back. But
that's not what you were looking for.
The answer we were looking for was cowboy hat. So we remain tied up at zero. All right. Question number three. The stabbing sound effect in Halloween was actually a knife stabbing what?
Boop.
Trevor.
A tangerine.
It's not a tangerine. John, you have a guess.
A steak.
It's not a steak. It was a watermelon. Trevor was watermelon. Shit. Trevor was going in the right direction with tangerine. So he used a watermelon for the stabbing sound effects. And if you'll recall,
that was terrible.
It was a This was a very Halloween was a very low budget film, so I'm sure the Foley department, you know, did what they could and ended up sounding great. All right, still tied up at zero. Number four, what was Michael's sister Judith doing as she was killed?
Bloop.
It, Trevor.
Brushing her hair.
That's correct for two stabs.
Whoop, champ is here. Boop, boop, boop.
Trevor now leads the show.
Stop waving around your T-Rex arms.
Sounds all right. Like a loser.
We're gonna end with number five in this round. This is the last question of this round. I have a feeling both of you may know this. Number five, what was the tagline for the film Halloween? John?
The night he came home.
That's correct for two stabs.
Oh!
And at the end of round one, we are tied up 2-2. All right. So now we enter round two. Round two, the category is called Who Said It? Who Said It is the category. So what I'm going to do is give you a quote from anyone in any of the slasher films we watched. You have to tell me who said it, okay? All right. Number one, the quote is, do you know what the most frightening thing in the world is? It's fear. Who said it? John.
Dr. Sartain.
Incorrect. Trevor, do you have a guess?
I'm going to guess Billy from Scream.
It was actually Mark from Peeping Tom.
Oh.
So if you'll recall, a lot of what he was into was kind of capturing people's faces right before they died. And it was all about fear. So he was into capturing that. So that was a quote from Mark. Number two.
We suck.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are tied. It's a close game. Yeah. It's what the people all right. want.
Whatever. Yeah.
All right. Question number two. Quote number two, I should say. We all go a little mad sometimes.
Beep.
John.
It was Norman Bates.
That's correct. It's also quoted in Scream, I believe.
I was going to say Billy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that I probably would have given you that too. all right. So number three, quote is, Paradise Lost, found it. Who said it? We haven't even talked about this film at all yet.
Can we have another hint?
It's one of the newer ones. John.
Behind the Mask.
Who said it?
Oh, duh. Leslie Vernon.
That's correct for two stabs.
Oh, it's going to be a sweep.
John's running away.
What we
away
said,
with it.
Jason, I was going to let him win. You know,
So John has six stabs. Trevor with two. As we enter question number four, the quote is: "Oh, why don't you go find a wall socket and stick your tongue in it? That'll give you a charge." Who said it? John.
Is it? I think it's the movie You're Next.
Okay. Who said it?
Is it? I can't remember his name. The brother who gets he gets stabbed a lot. I can't remember his name though. I know you can't give it to me, but
well, I'll make it easier for you and tell you that's not even the right film. So Trevor, okay, do you have a guess?
Oh God, I'm not gonna know the character's name. I think it's one of the girls from Black Christmas. I forget. I think it's the woman who plays Lois Lane in fucking Superman. I forget her name.
If that's correct, I will give you two stabs because it is from Black Christmas. Let me just check.
Is it Margot Kidder?
Yes, she played Barb. And
so who gets it?
Yes, first. She did play Lois Lane in Superman. That's 2 points for Trevor.
I don't get it.
No, you don't. You already used your guess.
What?
You used your guess already. Trevor was in the process of guessing. He just didn't. He didn't know the name. He got it. That was all impressive.
Right.
He got it.
All right. Who's
going to give it to you?
Still winning,
you
John. You're still right. Winning. All right.
I want to fucking sweep.
John doesn't want to just win. He wants to embarrass you, Trevor. That's what he's going for.
He can do that any other day, you know.
Okay.
Let me have this.
Quote number five. Here's the last one. And the quote is, all right, that was Michael Myers, everybody. That was Michael Myers. Doesn't say anything. All right. Moving on.
I thought the internet just froze up.
Okay.
That's also, sorry, Jason, that's not correct. You hear breathing heavily.
But he's also quiet from time to time. At any rate, that's not the real question five. Number five.
Jeez, fucker.
The quote is, I am a fucking piece. Who said it?
Up.
Trevor.
Oh God! Now I'm going to fucking forget her name. Now, it's the main girl from Freaky.
What's her name?
We need a name.
Oh fuck! Give me a second.
You can't search it.
I'm not searching it. What are you talking about? That'd be silly.
John.
Millie.
That's correct.
I fucking. Oh God damn it.
Trevor, I'm going to give you 1 point, but John gets two for that. Okay. All right. So that brings us going into the final stab. We're at 8-5. The final stab is worth 3 points. So Trevor needs us to tie. And I don't have a tiebreaker, so I don't know what's going to happen if we tie.
But I would still win.
why don't you just raise the number so that way whoever wins this wins.
It's worth 3.1 stabs. All right. The final stab. In Psycho, what alias does Marion Crane use when checking into the hotel? Anybody?
Bloop.
Trevor.
Jane Doe.
Nope. John?
I can't remember.
Okay. Let me give you... It was Marie Samuels. That was a tough one. That's why it was the final stab. Let me give you one more.
Okay.
What character name appears in both Psycho and Halloween?
Bloop.
Trevor?
Hawkins?
Nope.
Say that again?
What character name is in both Psycho and Halloween?
Ain't Laurie.
It was Sam Loomis. There's Loomis in both. And the Loomis from Psycho is actually that was the inspiration for Dr. Loomis. I thought I thought you guys were gonna get that one. So
which
John
is really stupid.
John, you are the winner because nobody got the final stab. So we remain 1-1 now, going into the the next
long-awaited rubber match.
Whenever that would be. So
I win by default.
You're ahead. You won 8-5. So. Yeah. So, I guess Trevor's still the king of Halloween. You can be the king of whatever, the slasher trivia.
Slashers.
July 18th.
Well done, guys. That was fun.
Yeah, that was. We both looked very foolish in this, but, you know what? I still won, and that's all that matters.
Sure.
So take that, Trevor.
Oh, man, I'm hurting. I'm going to cry.
I see you tearing up, and it's wonderful. Folks,
I don't know. I'm still the king of Halloween. So
bye.
Whatever. Let's
John
just
wanted this
up.
So bad.
Oh, I know, exactly. God, yeah.
He was like, he was calling me. Please let me win. Please let me win.
Now I don't have to pretend anymore. I fucking destroyed you, and it felt good.
You're gonna run down the basement, Ma. I beat Trevor.
Am I the water boy in this one? Like.
Mother, I beat Captain Insano.
We all know how much John loves Waterboy. It's been well documented on this show.
That's me tackling Trevor with my horror knowledge. What's up?
That was a fun little cap to this episode. And yeah, we'll have the rubber match sometime in the future.
Oh yeah. Now we're going to take a little hiatus for a little bit and we will be back. We'll let you know. We're not sure yet, but probably we'll be doing something at least in October.
Yeah. We'll be back for Halloween one way or another.
Oh yeah. And we might have some little one-off fun episodes just to keep you guys interested.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that does it for this week's episode. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And next week, we won't be reviewing anything, but we'll see you guys soon. But until then,
stab you later. Wow, that is a big penis, John.